Welcome to the Sunday Sessions. I'm Andy.
I'm Danny.
This is a new format we are going to do for you guys. We listened to everything you said at the show, and a lot of feedback we got was you wanted us to go weekly. So we've got a new format. Me and Danny are going to sit down. We're going to do a 20-minute, half-hour talk about our fishing, things we've seen on social media, what we've been up to, and then they're going to come out on a Sunday, and then we are changing the big guests to be coming out on a Wednesday. So I hope you enjoy these. This episode and all episodes moving forward are sponsored by Extra Tough. I wear these boots, got them on now, absolutely love them. We did have a code at the show, didn't we, mate? It was
25% off.
25% off. Big One Show 25, wasn't it? The Big
Could
One Show.
Well be, yeah. I think there's a picture of it on Two Secs.
We will put a link in there because I'm pretty sure it's still valid. If it's not, I'm going to reach out to Extra Tough and it will just be in the descriptions. It might not be in this one. It'll be in the other ones moving forward. So you guys can go on, get 25% off your boots. I love these boots. As you can see, I've got them on now. So yeah, Sunday Sessions. We've just got back from the Big One Show. I've only just recovered.
Yeah, my voice is still going.
another bit that I will also say is everybody kept, like, the feedback about the podcast was unreal.
Yeah, spot on.
It blew my mind how many people came to see us.
I was walking down the main, if you've ever been to the Big One, it's fucking massive. It's such a buzz, but it is a carp show, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, everyone's in green.
And I obviously, we know some guys in the industry, and I was just walking. I was 150 yards down the warehouse, which is where it's held, and I got a tap on the shoulder, just some total stranger. Oh, Danny, nice to meet you. I love the podcast. I follow it. I'm always laughing. And it was just like, oh, okay, mate. Oh, that's great. So, oh, you got a stand here. I was like, yeah, it's up the top. It's, oh, I'm straight up. And that was just another one of those, totally out of the blue, in an absolutely ram-ho event, in an event with all these massive big brands. And
busy.
I got stopped to say that they love what we do, you know?
We had people coming to see us just to come and see the bars, in all the bits and pieces we do. It blew my mind. I didn't realise, I don't want to sound arrogant when I say this, but I didn't realise how big Tuna Gear was. Mm. It caught me on the hop. We just had people coming up, oh, I've come to see you at the show. People wanted their photograph with me, mate.
Yeah.
That was a very, very strange thing. Because I'm just Andy, just doing something that I really enjoy.
I mean, I found that we would go, like, I would ask a question in the corner and I would move from the corner of the main display to go to the other side of the fish machine and I'd be stopped. Wouldn't even make it to that to have to be pulled back here because they just wanted to talk to us about what we do and, oh, they've seen our podcast, oh, they love what we do, it looks great. You know, it is. On the Saturday, we had by far the busiest stand, apart from like the main, like, quarter boys, of the entire show. I mean, it was flat out, queued around the corner.
An hour and a half queue for that simulator every single day.
Yeah,
it was nuts. That was a good show, having that simulator on that stand, definitely. Yeah. It kept people there all day. One of the other bits of feedback that I got was, I'm always hungover on the podcast and I'm always hungry. And today I am hungover because yesterday we went fishing and then me and Mordecai went to the pub and then we went to the Thai and drank more. So I took your feedback on board, and because we were doing one, I thought I'd get hungover for you. So, yeah, I am still a little bit delicate, but we are going to work through it. So, Sunday Sessions, my fishing, your fishing, things that we've spotted online.
Yeah.
Big One Show was amazing. Can't thank everyone for coming. Me and Danny somehow managed to get onto the main stage on Sunday morning. How that even came up, I do not know. I was definitely not my most comfortable sitting on a main stage with everybody staring at me. And we played A Question of Fish, which is a take on A Question of Sport. And I'm sat there. Who was the lure angler? This sounds terrible. Who?
We had Snagbro.
No. Oh. So there was me, Danny, and Snagbros versus Julian Carndiff.
Carndiff, yeah.
Frank Warwick. Those two are legit OG carp fishing boys. I've read their books. I've followed their stuff. And I'm just sat there staring at these guys on the main stage thinking, how have I wangled myself up on here? Who was the lurker?
They were called the Fishing Bloggers, and there's a pair of them. They're Bristol-based that do a bit of everything. Specialist, specimen specialist angling.
One of them went up on the stage.
I can't remember.
Really nice lad. I didn't catch his name. That was the problem. And it's not my avenue of fishing, so I didn't know who he was. I am sorry if you are listening. Very nice guy, though. And we won it. We managed to win the first ever Question of Fish. I got a question right, which was a passion for angling. That was 5 points. Pulled that one out of the bag.
Yeah, it was good.
It was between monster carp and a passion for angling. And Rob Hughes was going, which one do you want? I was like, it's got to be a passion for angling. It has to be. It's the greatest TV fishing program in my book ever made. I still watch it now on YouTube. Yeah, and we won it. And we won it by a little bit as well, didn't we? It wasn't like a point or two. Rob Hughes helped us out a bit because he got every time you would pass the question over to the other person, he kept saying the answer. So I was like, oh, I'll have that answer, please, Rob. Danny got himself right in there, microphone in his hand. Oh, absolutely loved it. Literally elbowed me out the way as we're going up the steps. I'm having that microphone. Mind you, we are not the smallest lads. And I could feel that bench starting to creak a little bit. I'm just thinking, if this thing goes underneath us, that's all we need. But yeah, that was an absolute...
And it was a really good turnout. There was people everywhere to watch us, and everyone was cheering and laughing.
Yeah, because we got... I watched the first turnout for the show on the Saturday morning, and there wasn't that many people. And I knew we were going up the following Sunday. And I was like, on the Sunday, I thought, if there's not that many people, it's a bit... It was busy. We had people laughing. Danny got up and said, hi, I'm Danny Parkins. I'm still drunk. We did drink a lot those 3 days. I'm blaming Tom Farage for this one because I was going to go back to the hotel room after the show on Saturday, and I was going to have a bath and go to bed because we'd done 2 days on the beer, all the setting up, the logistics, the build up to the show and everything else. I was pretty frazzled. My voice was already going from speaking to everybody all day.
Flat out, wasn't it? It was just chaos.
I'm outside the hotel. I'm FaceTiming the wife and the kids, just having a chat away. Tom taps me on the shoulder and goes, I'll get 2 pints and put them in. I was like, well, that's me not going back to the room. Next thing, it's 2:30 in the morning. Weatherspoon staff are kicking us off. That we need to go home. We need to lock up. And we had the Shimano boys on the end of
Shimano
our table.
Shimano and then all of our crew.
It was like 15 of us sat across this table because we had Tricky and Dom were there.
Yep.
We had Wayne Hand,
Dom and Tracy from Low and Chai Angling.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shimano and then our crew, yeah.
Big old table, and they wanted us to go half an hour before, and we
were still like, everyone had us still with like double stacking pints, and there was Guinness everywhere and drinks everywhere, and it was, yeah, phenomenal.
I woke up Sunday morning in that hotel room, my alarm's ringing, and I'm looking at this alarm and I'm thinking, yeah, I'm just thinking, what's going on? I was like, God, it's day two of the show. I got up and I'm wobbling around in the hotel room. I was like, I need a shower before.
And we can add a note to that and to everyone that helped us behind the scenes after what we've just spoke about. It was pretty feral, wasn't it? Just such a, on behalf of me and obviously Andy, but thank you to absolutely everyone that actually was there to help, because no one pulled a sickie. Everyone chipped in. Everyone was smiling inside. I mean, it was...
Oscar maybe not so much smiling on the Sunday.
I thought we'd lost him to Farnborough.
Every time we turned around, he's on the sofa just with
asleep,
his
eyes. There's a picture of him asleep.
Yeah, he was battered. But we had the Squidworths on the stand. They were absolutely phenomenal. Daz, Kaz and Luke. Yeah. We had Big John from the Suzuki Fishing Team. Absolutely lovely human, that guy.
Yeah, how nice.
Will from Smart Fishing. There was me, you, Oscar, Tricky.
Yep.
That was the crew, wasn't it? Tom Farage came up on the Saturday, which is why I was absolutely...
And you think Oscar and Tricky, and yourself, that was the first ever consumer show ever you've ever done. Never done anything like that before, working it.
And I think...
If you look at it and you look at the grand scheme of it, when you walked down that aisle and all you could see was music blaring and now the Tuna Gear logo across the top, for guys that have never, ever, ever done anything like that before, like I said earlier, we ruled the roost on that Saturday. Oh, well, the whole weekend, but especially Saturday, it was bedlam down there. And that was a credit to everyone involved.
On the C stand, it was us in the pen stand that were heaving the most,
It was
busy. I'm hoping we will be back there next year. even bigger. I've got me and Danny have already been talking about it. We've got absolutely massive plans for next year.
Watch this space.
Oh yeah, watch this space. Watch this space. So, one of the guys that I met, could you just put up his Facebook a minute? It's Southeast Fishing. I first came across him. I'd actually been watching his stuff. So when I'm looking for guests in these sorts of things, I'm always on YouTube. I'm always trawling social media, trying to find lads. And his stuff just started popping up on my feed. The first one I saw, keep going. There's one where he did, God, my stomach's rumbling. I am hungry. It wasn't this one. It was the one he was talking about a boat. He was talking about a boat somewhere and he was talking about this one here. So this caught my attention. It was like, do not buy a boat without checking these three things. And to be fair, I was looking at him thinking, like, boats are a minefield in themselves. You know, one thing's doing a bit of fishing. The other thing is talking about what you're looking at on boat. And I was thinking, who's he talking about boats? And then I was listening to what he did. And he was like, I was like, okay, fair enough. Like, he does know. Obviously, he's got his own boat. And I thought it was a really informative little video. Really handy if you're going into boat fishing. And then he did another one where he made his own, he was making his own soft plastics. And in the background, he's got like a man cave somewhere. It's like a converted shed, or he's got something at the bottom of his garden. And there was a spreader bar hanging up. And I was looking at it in the background and I could only see the bottom half of it. And I was like, that's a 14 drop, how I tie them. And those look like super pinks. So I was like, what's he been up to? I was thinking, oh, here we go. They're tying bars. Zooms out after like about a minute and you can see the tuna gear centre bird on it. It's not been fished and he's done the stinger. So it sort of goes across the wall. Yeah, and I screenshotted it, did the eyes emoji and just pinged it to him on Instagram. And he come back, he was like, only the best. And I was like, oh mate, that's very kind of you. Thank you very much.
Yeah, fair play,
and he come to see us on the stand, bought some bits and pieces off of us. But go back up. What's he got followers wise? He's probably smoking us, I reckon. Let's have a look. 802. No, but for what he's doing, he's what's that one? Is that Insta?
Instagram,
his Instagram's doing really, really well.
Yeah,
go and check him out. Southeast Fishing. Really nice lad. Really enjoy talking to him. Loves what he's doing. He's obviously been down with Kieran.
Yep.
Go and check that out. So this is sort of the stuff we're going to do. You know, we see something that we like. It might just be a fish we've seen or something like that. What did you get up to yesterday?
Yeah, I had a call the week before Farnborough show from a gentleman called Martin, who is basically the South of England sales rep, the only sales distributor for Corda, other than Corda and Direct. I know him through work. Lovely guy, we speak all the time, probably on a weekly basis. And he said, look, I've got someone high up in Corda coming down, visiting some of my top stores. He said, would you like, or can you, take us out for a fish? And I was like, yeah, of course I can, bud. Yeah, yeah. He goes, yeah, well, Paul actually loves a bit of lure fishing behind the scenes. Although he works, he's head of sales at Corda, he loves to lure fish. Just gone to perch fishing, loves it. He says, he's got some estuaries near him, where he's got a small window for bass fishing in the summer, but just wants to get out and have a blast. So we'd spoke about wrasse fishing, and they don't have any wrasse fishing on the coast that we have down here. So obviously he likes a bit of perch fishing, and wrasse fishing with lures, it's the same sort of techniques, just all the gear stepped up. So it's like, easy win. We lucked out massively with beautiful blue skies.
Oh, it's been lovely the last 2 days down here.
Absolutely gorgeous. So I took him down onto the South Hams. I took the Corda boys out. We smashed, I think, 15 or so wrasse. So lost some big ones. And they were...
It's always hard with those big ones to pull them out the rocks.
And that's it, yeah. And if you've not... Obviously, these are course anglers. They're not used to the South Hams up and down the rocks and jumping over gullies and knee deep in water. It's how I've always called it, adventure fishing, in absolute gin clear blue waters, stunning. And they didn't stop smiling. I mean, they were shaking like a shitting dog. And there was a few. Paul had this fairly big one that binned him in the rocks, and he couldn't get out. He let the bail off. It come out again. It got it up to again. It binned it in the other rocks, and he was just gigging like a schoolgirl. And a takeaway from me from that is when you're introducing people to any aspect of fishing, when you've got someone that you've not bigged the situation up, but said it's going to be kick ass, you're going to love it. And for him to sit there with just a smile from ear to ear, someone that works for the biggest carp brand in the world, to be like, buzzing off his tits about what we'd done. That was job as good. And so that was a pleasure to take those guys out, and they had a hell of a day. So I really enjoyed it. And again, it's as we've done with this show and the guests we have on here, it's another little network chink that we've now got, you know, so that's quids in.
So one of those things with wrasse fishing, always fish barbless.
Yeah.
Because they are going to do you in the rocks.
Smash her up.
Yeah, and you are going to lose gear. And their lips are tough.
Yeah.
And they're not going to spit a barbed hook, are they?
No.
Fish weedless when I'm... weedless, barbless when I'm going, so at least they can get rid of it.
It was just so much fun and enjoyable to watch guys... I'd obviously in the van on the way down and spoke to them and kind of not bigging up, but saying like they fight like hell. You think you've got a real big fish and you pull up and it's only 2 pound. And the colours, they couldn't get over the... I guess, and this is something that we can talk about. I mean, Ballan Wrasse, for a single species, we had 15 plus fish and not a single one was the same colour. Everyone was different. And they don't experience that. Carp, tench, pike, perch. That almost look like Paul said, they almost look like this is a different species of fish, and ticked every single box. And we were just blessed by beautiful weather. I mean, we took layers down there because it looked like it was going to be frosty and cold. By the time we got down there, we were fucking cooking. Everyone was taking layers off because it was, and Paul's ginger as well. And he was like, I've got to put my sun cream on. I'm just going to frazzle here. And it was just one of those just real cool where all the stars aligned and we just had a banger. And yeah, I loved it.
See, we went out fishing yesterday. And we did not have the banger. So me, the chairman of the POW, and Tricky went out yesterday on Mordecai's boat. I wanted to take my boat. He wanted to take his. He hasn't run it since pre-Christmas. So we went down there yesterday, and he hadn't left his tank filled up. So he's got a bit of condensation in the tank. So he's got a bit of water in there and stuff like that. He's flushed all of that out. So we've gone steaming out in his boat. We're joined with Simon by Hooks. He came out in his boat. The wrecks up our way just were not fishing. We did a ridiculous amount of wrecks yesterday. Did the first few. Pout all over the place. I had a pollock. Tricky had a pollock. Moved on to the next wreck. Nothing. Moved on to the next wreck. We're putting slow jigs down there. You know, normal retrieve on sidewinders. Trying all the bits and pieces. Dave's gone to fire his boat up and we've gone to move and it's just going, but, and we're like, oh.
Sucked a bit of H2O in.
Mate, we're 20 plus miles out, you know, but lovely weather. So we're like, okay, we've got another boat with us as well. So life's not too terrible. Right, let's go through a process of elimination here. Okay, so he took the boat out for a run yesterday and there was some water in the first fuel separator. And then he'd filled it right to the top. So we took the lid off, took the cowling off the engine, took the fuel filter off, tipped it out into a bucket, not into the sea, because you don't want to do that. And it's just white in there. So we've put all that back up, still doing it. But after we've done that, now a new code's come up saying no oil. He's running a two-stroke. So he's got like a separate tank for his oil in. So he's going pump it and he's going through the winterization process. Simon was still fishing on the wreck. We've drifted like half a mile off while we're doing this. Simon comes, when he goes through this winterization process, the biggest pile of smoke come out the back of this boat I've ever seen. Simon thought we were on fire. So he comes flying across, jams the brakes on and goes, oh, I thought you were on, boys were on fire. We're like, no, we're all right. He goes, that's a shame because I wanted to record it. Cheers, Si, thanks very much. So then now we're going through all the pipe work. And after about an hour, we worked out that the bulb from the oil primer, it's only got these little metal clips on.
Sucking in air. Yeah.
So we had to go, we were digging around in the boat.
Causing a problem by doing that, yeah.
Well, it was actually coming off the pipe. Ah, right, so as we were doing that, after about half an hour, I was like, there's a bit of oil that's come out here, mate.
Yeah.
We're like, pop. Oh, right, the whole thing comes off. So we even just sat there for some reason. As we've got on all our boats, we've got toolkits, we've got spares, we're rummaging around, right, there's a Jubilee clip, right, we can make this one fit. Cranked it all up, ran it, worked.
Very often, isn't it? It's the most silliest little shitty little nut and bolt. The most simplest of things that you don't think about.
I'm lucky that we were on Dave's boat because I am not mechanically minded, but I keep on top of all my boat on my boat. So, and I don't have that side because I'm running four strokes, not two strokes. So it's not so bad. But yeah, if I'd been on my boat and I had Dave with me, it might have been a bit of a different story.
I
am not mechanically minded at all. I've got, there's a thing called, is it C-Start? C-Safe? C-Start or C-Safe, it's one or the other. And they're basically the RAC of the sea. and you pay, I can't remember how much it is here, I pay a couple of hundred quid or something like that, if you've got a breakdown in the harbour and you also get a tow within a certain distance. Would we got them out 20 miles? I'm not too sure. But I'm also running two engines. So if one's not working, you've always got the chance of coming in of on course. The other one. Yeah, so I've got separate fuel tanks, separators and all the rest of it. So yeah, that was, our fishing was not good. I think we'd done three pollock, a couple of handful of pout and a massive breakdown for a whole day's fishing. But then we did the honourable thing, came in, went to the pub, Tricky left, and me and Dave went to the tie and just got on it. Yeah, yeah. So it wasn't a terrible day, but that's the first time I've been out fishing and the weather's been terrible. We haven't been out in 5 or 6 weeks.
Yeah, I said to the boys, I've not been on the salt since last week of January. It was the last time I went. I've done a bit of piking because it's right on my doorstep, but by hook or by crook, I've done a bit of that. But this is the first saltwater trip yesterday since last week of January and picked a banger of a day to do it. I was saying to you on the car on the way down, like, I can't know for definite, but I'm almost certain it was. I was looking out at the bay and it was in the morning up until about lunchtime. It was balmy out there and a big, big slack spot comes up, gulls going mad, and then just an absolute washing machine underneath it. It wasn't bass, it was too big to be bass, it was proper, and I'm almost certain that didn't see any tuna breach, but it wasn't dolphins, it certainly wasn't bass, but I think we saw some tuna in, which was really cool, you know?
Oh no, they're still down by the Eddystone. I think a lot of the smaller ones this year, like the ones that aren't old enough to breed, they
stayed
haven't
around.
Yeah, they've stayed because we have got a lot of bait out there.
Yeah, yeah, the sea was alive. Yeah, there was all the gullies and rocks there. We were just tucked in behind Hope Cove on the Hams, and it felt like it was May. It didn't feel like it was.
No, it was lovely.
Yeah, it was gorgeous.
Yeah, yeah,
it was really nice to see. There was life in the water. And quite often after the winters, you go down to these places, your first rash sessions, and I've always said it, you can lose a lot of gear on your first rash sessions because the winter storms rip all the weed out, so it's just exposed rocks. So when you're bouncing your Texas rigs back, they get stuck in all the rocks. But when there's weed there, you can bounce it through the weed, and you lose hardly any gear because the weed kind of cushions it into the rocks. But this year I've gone down there and everything's still covered in weed. So for historically, you go down there and it's barren because the weed.
You fishing Texas rigs every
year? Yeah, full Texas. Yeah, yeah.
Could you pull up? Who's that guy? I reached out to him. Coastal Lure Fishing. Could you type it into Facebook, please, mate? I'm sure he's called. I do follow him. Coastal Lure Fishing. We reached out to him. He makes his own. He's always out on the rocks. He's a RAS. He's always fishing for RAS.
Oh, Damien Fryer, yeah.
Yeah, yep. Damien, yeah, yeah. Coastal, yeah, can you call him up? Because he's started selling his own stuff now, isn't he?
Yep.
He's almost done a...
like a pack.
Yeah, but what do you fish for the bass? Those creatures?
Yeah, creatures and Senkos.
He's done something like that. Here he is, yeah. So if you are into your RAS fishing, go and check this guy out. Let's go down a little bit, please, mate. He is doing all this sort of stuff now. You can buy packs off of him. I'm sure he's done his own creature style bait.
Yeah.
There's one there, but they'll probably pop up in a minute. Yeah, there you go. You can go out. Same sort of thing, I'm guessing, is what you're fishing.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
I've been trying to get him on the podcast. He's busy.
And if you like RAS fishing, because it is quite popular, it's good fun, one to search is Evil RAS Cult, which is a community that we built. And it's just where everyone posts their lure fishing for RAS pictures. So Evil RAS Cult is a fantastic Facebook group that's been going on since about 2012, where there's so much cool shit on there. So
could you call up Lure Fishing Silly as well? And it's it's not silly as in silly people, it's the R's are silly. He came up to see me at the show. He came up to the stand. Yeah. He's a mate of Tom's.
It's his birthday today.
Oh, happy birthday, mate. So Tom came on the podcast, didn't he? What's Tom's surname? Baron.
Baron, yeah.
Yeah, so Tom Baron came on the podcast, and those two are thick as thieves, aren't they?
Yeah,
he goes down there fishing. He comes up here fishing. Yeah, and he came to the stand to chat to me. So, yeah, I was chatting away to him because, obviously, I go to the cities quite often. And, I think we should give him a shout-out. You found him?
S-C-I-L-L-Y.
I should have known that, but the hangover's made my brain a bit slow. Yeah, really nice lad. He had a foul angler's top on. There's somebody else I've reached out to as well. I think they're going to come up and do the pod. It might be...
might be Instagram only.
Yeah, he might be Insta.
I mean, they post it. Go on to the Evil RAS page. They do post in that. So go on to... If you type in Evil RAS Cult, they certainly post all of those boys.
RAS got an E on the end of it.
There you go. Top one.
I've not seen this one before. Odyssey Sea Fishing. Odyssey was up there. Oh, that was a charter though. Oh, Huntress Charter's come to see us as well. Go and check those guys out. We're going to go and do some filming with them this year. God, this is definitely one of the things that I took away from the show as well.
There's Damien's cross that we were just talking about.
Have you tried him yet?
I haven't. No, not yet, no.
Are you going to give him a go for
the bass? Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, one of the things I took from the show was how many lads from the carp scene are coming across into this lure fishing side of things. There he is.
For audio guys, we've basically got the Facebook pages up. And there's some pictures and images, so just so you know what we're looking at.
There's some absolute bangers on there. But I'm sure he's called Lure Fishing Silly. I want to find his page now. It's bugging me. I'm sure he's on Facebook.
It's his birthday today. I want to be on here.
He mates with him.
Yeah. Roscoe Dolbear.
That's a name, isn't it?
Yeah.
That is a name in itself. You're having to type into that.
R-O-S-C-O-E.
Perhaps he might be Insta.
Space Dolbear. D-O-L-B. No. It might be his age because he has a nipper.
Oh, there he is. Here he is. Yeah. Lure fishing is all one word. Silly. He's on Insta. I've got him here. Yeah. Young lad. He's doing everything. He's like Tom, isn't he? He's just smashing mad,
keen,
over the
place. And it's really cool to see these under 16 year olds getting out there and
he's not under 16.
They are, yeah.
Nah, he's not. He's at college.
They're nippers.
Yeah, they're nippers, but they ain't under 16. He's up there by himself at the show. He ain't under 16. There's no way I'm not having that one.
They've only just finished school. They've literally just finished school.
I got kicked out at 14, so I can't really comment, but I'm sure he's a little bit older than that. But yeah, he came up to us at the show. That was absolutely wicked. I really enjoyed that. What have you got coming up in your fishing?
Well, the season's kicking off for me, really. I mean, now the bass fishing's kind of going to ramp up. Obviously, the pike and perch fishing is now going to tail off now. I won't target pike now at all. The rivers are about to close next weekend, so my river fishing, so that's done. And that, for me, then, is the trigger for me to get out my local estuaries, weather depending, and just get out and target the wrasse. I'm definitely going to do more wrasse fishing this year because the last two previous years, I haven't really wrasse fished at all. It's been bass. But kind of my background within fishing is the wrasse fishing. So definitely do a bit more of that. I've got a load of friends coming down that will crack on with that as well. Get the bass fishing season going. I think we got a much better weather this year than we had previously. Last year was diabolical this time of year. So, I mean, who knows, eh? I mean, touch wood. Get out there and smash the bass. I really want to do some stuff locally. I've been sitting on Google Earth really researching some cool new spots that are stupidly close to where I live, but you tend to get overlooked by the stuff that you really, really like and know, and I've neglected some real cool shit that's literally on my doorstep. So that's my goal this year, is to try and crack a code a little bit closer to home, because I know they're there. I know they're there.
Well, less travelling involved. You can just...
Yeah, I mean, it's just short shop sessions. And we spoke about it on the previous podcast. Also, when the rivers do reopen, I'm going to do a bit of carp fishing on the river. I'm going to do a bit of that, you know, so which is very different to anything I've ever done before. So an exciting year ahead, you know. I'm just going to take it as it goes. My little one's older now, so a little less dependent on me. My guiding, and just go with it, you know. I mean, going to do some stuff with the magazines again. And just see where it goes, really. It's really looking forward to it.
So here's another guy I met at the show as well, Wayne Hand. I'm sure everybody knows who he is, the Shore Hunter. I'd been following him. I didn't realise how much of a machine that guy is.
Yeah.
Same age. Both used to do a bit of raving back in the day. We've got very similar backgrounds. Lovely, lovely guy. Like, first time I got to meet him, sat in Wetherspoons having a few beers, and he was showing me the stuff that he gets up to. And that guy travels.
Yeah,
man, he'll be in Scotland, then he'll be in Wales, and he'll be going over here, and then he does his own rigs as well. Which
he's now full time YouTube, isn't it? I think
full time.
Yeah,
yeah, that's
able
what
to
he
go
full
time.
Yeah, I met him. I met his wife. Lovely people, and he loves it. Legit.
He's one we've asked to come on the podcast before. It's just about getting schedules together. He's a very busy guy. We will try and get him on, but it's all about schedules because he's everywhere.
Well, I got him drunk. We were both already drunk, and then I got him to agree to it, so he's got to come on now. I was going to reach out to Dom to get his phone number and then give him a call and just say, you know, you're coming on the podcast, mate, because loads of people will be interested in what he does.
Yeah, whenever I've put shout outs online to say, look, who are the people that you want to see from? Wayne's always been one of the guys that repeatedly gets asked for. So.
Yeah, 100%. I know he's a bit apprehensive about it because he's busy and all the rest of it.
And we're a bit feral for him, I think.
I don't know, mate. I don't know. He's a good lad. In another one is the Lazy Lure Boys. We were going to have them on the podcast, but they were dropping that new...
That Swimming Sand Hill, yeah.
Yeah, the what does that big word say? Renaissance?
Renaissance Hill.
Yeah. So they were dropping that. And it was right before they were dropping, so they said, look, we just can't make it.
They were like two down from us on the stand.
They were busy as well. They had a
Southwest Boys based near Plymouth.
Yes, they are. They had a dartboard there, then they were doing something with that. I saw a few different people doing that with the dartboard. Seemed quite an interactive
thing.
Highest
score one goodies, wasn't it? You
know, something like that. Because I was walking past one of the days and someone had just got some ridiculous score and they were like, oh, you just might as well have the stuff now. No one's going to beat that. That guy obviously played darts. That was an easy one for him. But yeah, it was good to see. Obviously, Kieran and Liam from Wild Seas were on the pen stand. The Lazy Lures Boys asked, it was good to see the Southwest contingent taking the travel.
We were in full force, mate.
Yeah, we were. I imagine sea fishing's a bit more of a thing down here. I'm still quite new to it, but it was nice to see those boys taking the travel up and taking the time to come up, you know, to go and show what we've got down here and what we're actually capable of.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, it was good.
We'd love to hear what you guys are doing. I mean, we reach out to us. I mean, we do interact on the daily with listeners, watchers. So if you've got some cool shit lined up, you want us to hear about it or you want to talk about it.
You got a catch pick. You know, you've just caught a PB. You know, you're off doing some new stuff and you want us to talk about it. I'm more than happy to talk about it.
Sunday Sessions is about celebrating as much what we do as what you guys do. And we're happy. If you've got stuff you want to raise or you work for something, then reach out. Drop us an email. Pick us out. You don't need to be public. You can drop us privately in the messages.
How long have we been going, Aaron? That's about nice. Okay, that's perfect. That's exactly what it is. I need to get a watch on this a clock on this table because I never know how long we were going.
Like a countdown clock.
Dangerously. The problem is I can sit here with you for a couple of hours and just rabbit.
That shit.
So yeah. So that's the first one of the Sunday Sessions. I hope you enjoyed it. If you could head over to YouTube and hit subscribe, it's free. Cost nothing, and it really does help us out. I would be very grateful if you could do that. Instagram, we've got Facebook as well. We're having more of a tying all the socials together, so it's all coming out. So everybody, if you do hit that subscribe button on YouTube, you're going to see all the stuff. If you're not so keen on Facebook or Instagram, you are going to see all the shorts and all the reels that we put up on the other socials. You'll see them on YouTube as well. So yeah, go hit the subscribe. It's free. It helps us out. And we will see you next Sunday, won't we?
Yeah. Gilby coming out Wednesday. Keep your eyes peeled.
Yeah, shh, don't tell anyone. It's a secret. See you on the next one. Cheers.